Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4. Brian Azio, Dog Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan, our buddy Ray Ferraro will join us in just a few moments. And Ray's going to be jacked up for the Olympic Games. His son Landon is playing for Canada at the Olympics. So yeah, we'll ask him about that. Very proud moment, clearly, for Ray and the Ferraro family. So,
got to ask him if he's going to go. Like, if your kid, like, well, aren't you going to kind of just clear your
schedule? I don't know what the rules are.
I don't think you can.
I don't feel like so. It's,
I mean, I'm sure he could find a way if he was calling the Olympics. Like, I'm not sure if ESPN or anything, like, I felt like he was working it at some point, but
he was there 4 years ago, I believe, calling it.
I'm sure it'd be
CBC, I think.
Be great for him to be there, but I don't know. For Landon to go, I think it's awesome. I think there's some guys in that roster I'm really happy for to see. You know, their names of guys who have really, you know, put in the work and grinded and may not either had the opportunity or just didn't make it consistently at the National Hockey League level. So you get an opportunity either to further your career or get your, you know, career, an opportunity maybe at the NHL level.
Yeah, it's a platform for sure, right? It's I'm not sure of all the other rosters and how much NHL level competition will be there. But, you know, Russia will supply a quality team.
Oh, yeah.
Chock full of KHL players and players that are quality. And they won gold 4 years ago. They're the reigning gold medalist at the Olympics. So see what Ray can tell us about that in a few moments. And the Leafs are coming off a win last night. We had Sheldon Keefe on in the last hour. And, listen, it's another blown lead. And he said it off the top. Like, you can't be so excited after a blown lead because it has been pretty consistent. But he went on to say, after watching the game last night, coming back in and watching the tape this morning, not a lot to complain about. I thought the Leafs were really dominant last night, and the big boys in particular. That was a big, big moment for Mitch Marner, who looks like he's back at 100%, right? He's been dealing with injury problems and COVID and his team being shut down. And Marner looked good last night. Matthews looked good last night. Tavares got back on the game sheet. So, you know, it's a good feeling if you're the Leafs.
Yeah, they played well.
This upcoming weekend.
And this is the softer part of their schedule. You know, they've got Detroit. They've got New Jersey back-to-back, I think, next week, Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah.
So they've got, you know, they've got a little bit of time to space things out and an opportunity to, you know, string some wins together if they don't take their opponent lightly. But they've got to, you know, you've got to work and you've got to go through that and try and stay healthy and all of that fun stuff. But I thought it was a great effort. And, you know, the game was a bit weird to watch, because Anaheim was really loose. Now, the Leafs played well, but, like, that Zegras showed me nothing last night.
I didn't notice him at all last night.
You know, that's what I was talking about. It's like, guys, if you want to dangle and you want to have the hair and all the cool stuff, that's one thing. But are you going to be a competitor night in and night out? Because that's all that matters at the end of the day. Nobody cares about the behind-the-net play anymore.
Well,
I know he's a young kid, too, Jay.
He's young, and
I think he's got tremendous skill. But you can't have your best night every night. I just thought that he tried a few things that didn't work, and he got pushed off pucks, and he kind of showed his age last night. We'll see.
Yes.
I mean, it might be a different story tonight in Montreal, a different opponent, different thought process. That Drysdale, he's a hell of a player. He's a player right now.
He's like, already making an impact.
And not shy to jump into the play. Tremendous confidence. You know, there's a couple times you decision-making and reads, but, this kid's going to be a stud.
Yeah. I didn't have the stones to say it during the juniors, but I was like, because it was just a Lafreniere festival.
Love fest,
where it was
yes.
You got to do Lafreniere, like Lafreniere, look at that move, you know.
Yeah.
I was like, I wanted to say this was to be the kid that I take. His skating ability, playing defense, controlling the game, and he wasn't even playing a lot.
Yeah.
But I was like, this guy, if it doesn't turn out, you just look like a donkey. But I loved him at the juniors.
He's a nice player.
He's going to be an awesome player.
He's a nice player. But getting back to the Zegras thing, there was a couple plays where he tried, and, you know, skill guys, they try things, and if it doesn't work, then it doesn't look as great. That's kind of what I saw out of him last night. Tonight he might have three highlight reel plays. I mean, that's just those. When you're on the high wire and you're highly skilled like that, it either looks great or sometimes, the coach is like, nice try, don't ever do it again type of thing.
Exactly, the old Lou Brown,
catch,
Willie Mays, Hayes, don't ever do it again.
Yeah.
Also, I think it's part of it could be who you're going up against, and he has said, it says something about Matthews being in the league now for 5 years, where Zegras, that was a guy he looked up to. you know, a few years ago, which I always found interesting. Like a guy's 19, he looks up to a 24-year-old. But I guess if you're 14, 15 and really realizing where you're going and you start paying attention, and if you're an American kid, then Matthews would have been clearly on your radar. And I thought there were shifts last night where Matthews was just – it was – you weren't stopping him. Like it didn't matter who was out against him. It wasn't going to be stopped. And he had a lot of opportunities. In overtime, he had opportunities. And, you know, that could be a part of it as well. Zegras is just watching what the other guys are doing on the other side of the ice. And you get into a position where you almost become a victim of, I better try to match it. You can't. Like, you're not going to match that based on what those guys are capable of bringing. So the Leafs coming off a win last night. And, again, back in action, I believe, in Detroit on Saturday night. Here's our buddy Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. What's happening, Ray?
Busy week. Things are, you know, finally got a couple of nice days out here savoring the Packers loss. It's been good.
Yeah, thank you for that. Why would you say that? Why are you against the Packers? Is that because of me, Rodgers, the...
Oh, just you.
Okay, good.
Yeah, just you.
Okay.
I want to, one of my bucket list things is I want to go to Lambeau. I think it looks awesome. Now, I want to go in October, not January, but
right.
Because I'm soft, but... Yeah, like I don't know, it was an unreal weekend, and knowing your angst that your kicker can't kick it out of their shadow just cracked me up.
Special teams, man. It just, you could feel it all year, and I didn't anticipate it would play into the game the way it did on Saturday night. But that, like, the moment in time when that punt gets blocked and it's up in the air and you're like, there's no way the Packers are retrieving that. Like,
yeah.
Of course the Niners are going to get it, run it in, tie ball game. And 20 minutes real time later, they're packing their bags and the U-Hauls are leaving Lambeau. See you later.
What a weekend of sport, though, right? Like that's where, you know, we talked a million times about, I was thinking of it as I'm watching it, about, I know it's the playoffs and that's different, but like the one and out games are the best in any sport. Like when it's one and out, they just, it's, I don't know, they're just the best. And I'm like, I can't believe the NHL is going to go and play in a junior rink in Arizona, right?
Like, can you believe that?
I can't even, like, that's complete nonsense.
Is that possible? Like, how do you even allow that?
Like, you're going to have, like, just, I'm just picturing, like, a, you know, like a junior rink that's 5,000 seats. And, like, you got all the local people that are volunteering, that are doing the ushers. And, you know, like, it's not pro sport. It's not.
No.
And the NHL, they're going to cram that in there, and they're missing the revenue of a one-and-out playoff 2 out of 3. Like, how do they miss that?
Yeah.
Like to me, it's a freebie. If you watch these, like, look at the wild card games in baseball. Lots of times they're better than the playoffs because they're, man, you win and you, or as you say, the moving trucks are there and you're out of Lambeau.
Well, it sounds like it's Bettman that's against it. We had this conversation with one of our insiders last week. And I guess he wants to preserve the sanctity of the regular season. And that's his explanation, which
But
just think, at one time there was 16 out of 21 teams were in the playoffs. What was the sanctity of the playoffs then?
No kidding.
If you had feet, you were in.
No.
Well, there was 5 teams that didn't, though. That's the crazy part.
Shocking.
When you came home to your buddies and said, yeah, we didn't make the playoffs, you know deep down they were like, wow, you guys suck.
You guys suck. And that's before TV packages, so they're probably like, I saw you play once all year.
Yeah.
You were brutal that night, but I didn't realize it was every night. Come on. Figure it out.
Yeah. Ray, before we get deeper into the hockey talk, so let's get this straight. Landon's going to the Olympics. Cammy's writing books. Like, what the hell are you up to?
Yeah, what are you doing in that house?
I took Ollie for a walk this morning. Like, I feel like such a slacker. Everybody's got all this cool stuff going on, and our garage is full of books right now. I can't even park the car in there.
Yeah, and, like, you got to deliver those yourself, or what's up with them all going to your house?
Yeah, I'm going to have a table set up at the front of the driveway. Yeah. No, they get pushed to a distributor. I got to be honest with you. Cammy has done all of this. She's, you build your distributorship, and it's all self-published, and her nephew did the illustrations. It's really unbelievable. I was like, it's so great. I think it's I think people are going to love it because of just the story, but also what it looks like. And then a week ago, you know, kind of out of nowhere, we get a call from Landon. And as soon as I saw his face, like I knew he was on the long list and then the shorter list, you know. And as soon as I saw his face, I'm like, did you get a good call today? And, oh, he was just beaming, right? Like, yeah. It's been a hell of a week. I mean, they're in Davos right now at training camp. We used to go to Noodles. Where did we go? Albany?
Yes. Albany, yeah. New York. Just
What a pit. And we're in there for training. He's in Davos in this gorgeous rink that's built out of wood. And that's where they have the Spangler. And, oh, man, he's just so excited. It's been an amazing thing.
Yeah, that's such a cool, obviously, connection you're going to have, but I think we can all jump on that board now. We'll jump on that bandwagon. Not that we wouldn't follow the Canadian side anyway, but it's great to see that Landon will be a part of that. Like you mentioned, Cammy's got a book coming out. I just saw her video earlier today. I'm curious, your little guys, they're not so little anymore, soccer players, is this Honduras match a priority tonight in the Ferraro House?
Oh, we'll be watching that. Yeah, we'll be watching for sure. I was trying to explain to them they may be dodging bags of stuff in game.
It can get ugly with the fans down there, big time.
Just think of this generation of young soccer players, right? Like, it's one thing to say, oh, yeah, we're going to cheer for Canada. But when you go and watch Canada play, like, they're so fun and they're so young and aggressive. And you're like, man, the kids are just hooked into it. And it's almost like hockey. Like, I don't know what soccer was like 30 years ago or 35 years ago, but we watch the players now, and they're doing things players then couldn't do. We watch the hockey kids, these young guys, they do stuff like that we just couldn't do. And so there's always something that, like, now that's just dragging them in to watch. And, like, we're watching tonight. I mean, last night, the Colorado game's 3-1. I'm like, man, I got some other stuff to do. I turn it off for a bit. I see on my phone 3-3 going into overtime. I'm like, how the hell did that happen?
Wow.
It's like it just – and then you're like, I want to draw back in. It's like, I don't know, there's some really cool stuff right now, and a lot of it is just the skill that these players can play with.
And, Ray, everyone's harping on the Leafs that they can't hold the lead, but in today's game, man, it's like there's no lockdown mode anymore. You can't go near a guy. You can't hook. You can't get in front of him. And that's a big part of that's a big reason why that there's comebacks and there's 4-1 in the third doesn't necessarily mean it's over. Like, you can't lock it down.
It doesn't feel the same, does it? Like, before, like, that team would get that extra goal for the lead and you'd go, yeah, well, this is pretty much done. And right now, until it gets late in the game, it never really feels over. When I look at what a defense should be, I'm not talking about Morgan Riley or somebody like that, but for the most part, your guys now, if you're going to somewhat defend a lead, they've got to be big and mobile. They don't really have to be physical. They've got to take up space. They've got to be able to skate because, just as you said, you can't push anybody out of the way anymore. You can't defend like you used to. We had Adam Foote on our podcast yesterday, and he told some unbelievable stories. But Adam Foote would have 5,000 penalty minutes a year in the game today. Yeah. Like, you just couldn't, you can't do it. So the Leafs are up, and of course they score one in their own net, and you give up a couple, and yet if you've got enough skill, you can outscore the one that you give up that you might not like. I was in Vancouver at the game the other night, and Koskinen gives up kind of I didn't like it. The wrist shot.
Patterson, goal. Yeah,
to Patterson. The reason I didn't like it is he was deep and he was had 1 foot outside.
He was off his angle. That's the first thing I thought. Yeah, when you're anyway.
And so they're like, I'm like, oh man, what are they? Well, you've got to find. They get a crappy one back. The kid plays unreal for Vancouver, but they were in the game because they had the potential to score. And even a few years ago, you just couldn't score your way back in. And I don't know if it's COVID and lack of practice or if it's like you say, oh, it's the rules, but there are comebacks. And I do miss some of the old game, but I think the comebacks are good for the game. I really do.
Well, it's an interesting line of thinking in terms of what the Leafs are going to do moving forward here, because every year within a month or two of the trade deadline, there's a position that gets circled, and that's what Dubas and company has to attack. Last year it was the left side, right? Got to find a way to solidify the left side. Someone that can play in the top six with Hyman turns out to be Nick Foligno. That conversation this year is someone to pair with Muzzin. You know, that's the topic in Toronto, and I know you're aware of that, right?
Yeah.
Because the idea is you move Hall back or you figure out your third pairing, but you got to have someone to play with Muzzin. But with this line of thinking, do you think they'll be going into it looking for someone with pace, looking for a puck mover, looking for someone with offensive capabilities?
I think it's mobility and agility.
Okay.
Like I don't – the old, like, big, clunky – you know, oh, he's a defender. Like, the closest you're going to have to that is Muzzin. And you better hope that when he comes back, his game continues to trend in the right way. Because if he doesn't get fixed, like, the way that he can play or has played in the past, that's an enormous hole in their lineup. Like, he's almost invaluable because he's a bit unique to their team. But the guy beside him, whether, you know, Hull doesn't inspire the thought that he can handle that role on, you know, through a playoff run. That role, that guy, he's got to be, in my opinion, he's got to have size and he's got to be able to move. Like you need some size to defend at some point. You have to be able to be in the way. I know that's a pretty lousy description, but remember when Babcock used to always talk about Ron Hainsey?
Yeah.
And he used to say he knows where to stand.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
Describe like length, sound, like the reach and the length.
Right. Yeah. Right? He knew what to. Don't you need that? You need somebody that can skate, but somebody that can just defend by being in the right place. That's what. I mean, is Colorado going to be big enough on the blue line? I don't know, but they seem to have the puck a lot. Maybe they don't have to be, but they're going to have to score. Florida's going to have to score. And that's the way the game is kind of set up right now.
That, you know, it's funny you say that, because when I look at Tampa, the guy that I think is quite valuable to them on the back end is that Chernek. Because he's a mutant, but he can skate. And he's got hands, actually, like, and some confidence. But we always focus on, you know, Hedman, McDonough, like, because those are the name guys back there. But you know, they're just not out there. Like, that's the, if you're looking at rosters going, you know, okay, Ray, who did you just describe that can play in a top four scenario? A lot of those teams, they covet them. Yeah, unless you're, you know, you got to have to look at the Detroits or look at the teams that are going to be selling and go, is there somebody on there that has experience as well? You're not going after a 24-year-old that has those attributes, because Ron Hainsey knew where to stand because he played 800 to, you know, now he's north of 1,000 games in the league. He knew exactly through experience.
Well, just think of the guy who quietly plays in their top four, and I never think about him until I do a Tampa game and I write his name down, is Jan Ruda.
Right.
You're like, Jan Ruda? Well, he's 6'3". He can skate. He passes the puck, and he plays with Hedman, so Hedman can kind of meander all over the place. Like, it's a name that nobody is going to jump up and down for, but that type of player is I could see that being a target. You're not getting him, but it might be a target for somebody that you could, I think, on the blue line, like, to improve your mobility and size on the blue line. That third pair, that looks, man, I can't picture them in a playoff series in a long run.
No, me
neither.
Like
the two of them together. Like, it just, it looks like they're going to get chewed up at some point.
Yeah, I think Liljegren and Sandin together, they're comfortable with when they have time, when they have ice, you know, they can make smart plays, but it shrinks in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be battles in front, battles in the corner, the games, you know, the ice will get cut in half. I cannot picture a scenario where they're a pair in the playoffs, unless you're dealing with multiple injuries.
I
can't see it.
I don't want to start rumors, but, like, I haven't...
Start one, Noodles.
No, because...
Start it up.
No, but,
come
like,
on.
Mark Giordano. Like, I don't know if you fit him into your cap structure. If, you know, at 38, if the legs are still there. But, like, that type of... You know, when Giordano is at the top of his game, or at least, you know, contributing, he's mean, he's physical, he's got a good shot from the point, he's obviously a tremendous leader. Like, again, I don't know where his game is at. I've watched Seattle play a lot, but there's times where I'm thinking, okay, looking his age, and other nights I'm like, doesn't look his age, looks pretty good. I don't know
but,
if he'd want
but just
that.
Think if you're on a better team, you don't need to do as much.
Right.
You know, like, in that, you know, thinking of him, thinking of Giordano in Toronto, he's got to be able to retrieve the puck. He makes a really good pass, right? Like, he makes that good first pass. He doesn't have to, you know, go all over the place and do, you know, do three people's jobs, which you always try to do when you're an expansion team, right?
Right.
You're always trying to do somebody else's job because, holy crap, lots of nights you just get run over. So you're looking at bringing an older guy who's not what he was, because who is, and asking him to play 19 to 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Why can't he do that? Of course he can.
Yeah,
you're not looking for a six-year deal.
I just don't, like I say, I'm not trying to start a rumor. I'm just, you have to look
it's
around the league.
It's a natural connection, though.
But that's, you got to look around the league for guys like that who are cagey, who you know, are confident in their ability, who can still play in maybe a more limited role, but play a certain style.
And without term, too, right?
Exactly.
Like that's a big part of where the Leafs are at. They're not looking for some, not, you know, that we're being realistic about. You're not going to find someone that's coming in at 1.5 for the next 3 years or something like that. Like, it's
now,
probably...
I mean, you know, I read they'd love to have players with term, but maybe that doesn't work, and, like, maybe it doesn't fit, and then you get in there and you're like, okay, this is the best we can do. Like, there feels some immediacy this year, right? Like, they've played by far way more good games than games that make you shake your head.
Yep.
Like, they, and you're looking, like, I could see them being a way more difficult team, a way more patient or determined team. Yet you look at the East and you're like, oh my God, it's a slugfest.
Well, we were saying this last hour, Ray, like, if you're, unless they win the division, which is still possible, then you could play the Rangers or Pittsburgh. But as I currently see it, and again, half the season left, but I think Carolina's going to win the Metro. I think they're the best team. They got games in hand. I think they end up winning. I don't think the Leafs are going to win their division. So with that in mind, you're looking at likely playing either Tampa, Florida, or Carolina in the first round. That's likely who you're
playing. So when you say, oh, you know, the season can only be a first-round win or it's a failure, you're like, yeah, but there's going to be some really good teams that chew that sandwich.
Right.
Like,
oh, yeah.
You're not. Look at the West. I mean, if you get in, literally, if you get in and you avoid those top two seeds, you can advance quite a distance. And you might even, I mean, who knows? Who knows what Vegas is going to be or whatever? But those, you know, Vegas and Colorado, they look like they're better than everybody else to me. But everyone else, why can't you win around? And it's a way easier road.
Well,
in the West, anyway.
The news is coming down here. It's been trending towards this route for a good week to 10 days. That Evander Kane and the Oilers they got a deal in place. It doesn't sound like he's going to be suspended by the league, which means maybe he's ready to jump on the train and play this weekend. How much of that move, Kane signing in Edmonton, do you think is about stabilizing the regular season? And how much of it do you think is about what you just said? If you get in and he's not a disturbance or he finds his game and he's fine, he's a quote-unquote playoff-type player and can help them win a round or two?
Well, I think it's critical to them to make the playoffs. Like, sure, you get in and it can be open, but I watched them the other night in Vancouver, and I mean, they've gone through hell here for about 15 or 16 games, and they beat Calgary. I think they had 50 shots the other night. That kid in goal, I think
Spencer
he had like
Martin.
30. Spencer Martin, did he? He had like 32 shots from the slot.
Yeah, it was
they're like that's like batting practice, and they looked good, and I'm like, man, if you add Hyman to this team again when he comes back. And if they were able to sign Kane, all of a sudden you think of Kane, McDavid, Puljujarvi, Hyman, Draisaitl, Yamamoto,
Nugent Hopkins, somewhere
RNH
himself.
In the middle with Fogel and, you know,
Cassian.
Dylan Holloway's not that far away. You got McLeod. All of a sudden you go, geez, that could be pretty good. Well, still got to fix the goalie. But you're like that Kane can be a really big part for them. And I do think, like, for all the crap that's followed him around, and there's a reason it follows him around, if you don't get the best behaved 35 games of Evander Kane, you're never going to get it. Like, he's either a grade A citizen or he's out of the league.
Yeah. Sure seems that way. Like, based on what San Jose just said, he's gone. Like, we're not doing this anymore.
And the players said they don't want him back in the locker room. Ray,
that's
do you think
what I
that
mean.
After...
Like, doesn't that speak more than anything?
Well,
like,
no, I'm not getting into it. But do you think somebody next year gives him a multi-year deal?
Well, okay, well, what happens if he gets 18 goals in 35 games?
I don't think anybody has ever questioned how really good of a player he is.
Oh, yeah. Noodles, he's 6'3", he's tough as hell, and he can score 30 goals. Who doesn't like that? I love that.
There's never been a question, because he is, in today's game, you know, a unique player, because he can fight, he can skate, he can score. He's got a combination of a skill set that is quite unique. But that hasn't been what you said, Ray, has trailed him around. It's kind of been the other stuff. So if he can settle into a dynamic in Edmonton and just focus on hockey, maybe he gives them the best 35 games of his career. And
they don't need 90 games from him. They don't need 5 years from him.
Right.
They're trying to get through this year. That's the deal. It's 1 year, and it's for whatever it is. Did you guys see anything?
2.1
or is anything
prorated
enough?
Or something? Is
yeah, there's like a signing bonus, and it sounds as if, because he's jumping in halfway, he's going to make around $1 million. So the cap hit will be around 2.1, give or take. And I think there's a full no move. Like, he's committed. He's going to be in Edmonton. They gave that.
I'll say he's got a full no move.
Yeah, no kidding. Can you imagine if Edmonton in a week's like, we need to get rid of this guy? Insider trading, Evander Kane's available. That's probably not going to go over well,
no.
I would think. But also, yeah, you're right. I mean, put everything else aside. If he steps in that room and he sees his name beside McDavid or Draisaitl, that's a pretty good opportunity to tuck in some goals and look like a pretty good player, you know. So, but that's going to be available to him. And the Oilers need it. The Oilers need help. You know, that's why they're doing this. It's clearly based on hockey and what they think he can bring on the ice.
Well, and I would suspect that however this road led to them making an agreement, there's been enough digging around to find out whether you really believe this can happen. You talk to other players, you talk to, you know, if you're the management, you talk to other players, other teams, the league, whatever the league's done in their investigation. You know, you try and dig up whatever you can to find out, can we make this work for 35 games? And then you go, gulp, I hope so, and then you try it. That's,
yep.
That's got to be where they're at.
I think that's precisely what they're thinking. And we will find out probably as early as this weekend. So we'll see.
Who's your quarterback next year, Hayes?
That's a great – it better be – I honestly, I can't even give you an answer with a straight face. I want to say Jordan Love and believe in Jordan Love, but I actually witnessed him play earlier this season. limited faith in the Jordan Love era. So I'm concerned. I think he might come back, though, Rodgers. We had Chris Long on yesterday, and he basically said, I don't know if he's courageous of taking on, you know, a different market, checking on whether or not the grass is greener on the other side. It's not always better, you know, when you leave. So maybe it'll be Rodgers. That'll be the dramatic story of the offseason, though. You're banking
on it. Well,
I'll
tell you, you were really firm. Thanks for clearing that up for me.
Yeah, there it is. That's why I have this job, because I'm so committed to opinions. I have no idea what's going to happen. But I'll be a Packer fan. I'm not like, oh, I'm not going to jump on the Bengals bandwagon or the Bucks.
Bengals
like
all the way, baby. Hey, hashtag rule the jungle.
You guys know, I know Noodles does for sure, our RoboWop Brownie. He is a longtime Bengals fan. Losing his mind. He can't function at the best of times, but he can't even function right now. He's so excited.
Good for him. They have been a lost cause for a long time. I mean, Andy Dalton got them in the playoffs a lot, but there was never going to be an AFC championship game.
No.
It wasn't going to happen. And it's only Mahomes and the Chiefs waiting for you, so good luck
with
that.
Oh, it'll be fine.
Yeah, it should be an easy – just a walk in the park up at Arrowhead. All right, buddy, enjoy it. We'll do it again soon, I hope, and we always love having you on.
Hey, great to talk to you guys. I hope everybody's good, and let's do it again quick.
You got it. There he is, our buddy Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lean history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com. Yeah, Ray is not alone. I get asked, you know, from time to time, what do you think is going to happen? And how can you get a read on Aaron Rodgers right now? Like, I don't have a read on what he's going to do and if he's going to come back. And
I have one prediction. It's going to be noisy. Like, whatever he's going to do right now is going to draw a lot of attention and be somewhat controversial.
Yep.
Yeah. That's what
he's
been doing.
You think that
recently.
Guy has a – the one thing I don't agree with Chris saying, he doesn't know if he has the stones to go to a different market. I think that's a complete crock. That's not that – you think a guy would lie to people about his vaccination status, is afraid to go play football somewhere else? I'm not buying that one.
Well, we'll see. The proof will be in the pudding in the next month or two. He's got to make a decision pretty quickly. You know, the you turn the page on the season, they get to free agency pretty quickly, off-season bonuses and all that kind of stuff come into play. Yeah. What the Packers are going to do with his contract, the Devontae Adams contract, there's a lot of play up there in Green Bay. And trying to get a read on him right now is difficult. I'm not convinced if he leaves. Jordan loves the guy anyway. They might go out there and realize maybe they get in on Deshaun Watson.
Right.
I don't see it in that market. I don't picture that being a fit, but maybe, you know, maybe they get in on someone else that could be available throughout the league. They're going to need a quarterback. You got to play. So thanks again to Ray for joining us. Brian Windhorst will join us of ESPN just after 6 o'clock. We'll get back into this Draymond Green stuff where he's locking in with the NBA on TNT as an analyst while he's still playing in the league. And I saw some scoops out there about another big play-by-play guy with huge leverage. And it's pretty amazing considering how long he's been around. We'll tell you about that. We'll get into it. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Brian Windhorst will join us in about a half an hour. The Raptors, it was close, man. They had a late lead last night. Gary Trent gets the second tech, gets kicked out of the game. That one stung. He was on fire. Really quality offensive night. And they let it get away from them late. You know, close games, it happens back-to-back on the road. DeMar had himself a very efficient night like he always does. DeRozan was very efficient last night shooting the ball. And get into a number of things with Brian Windhorst in about a half an hour.
Hazy, if you want to see something, and we love Chuck Swirsky. He was in Toronto a long time. But go on Chuck Swirsky's Twitter account, because after wins, this guy starts dancing. And he's possibly the worst dancer, I think, on the face of the universe. And the other night, he fell down dancing, like while he was videotaping himself dancing in Chicago, and he bailed. It was bizarre.
So, wait a minute. I have not seen this.
Joe from the Bridge and Keith and Malls, please get the other night when Chuck Swirsky's doing. He honestly is the worst dancer I've ever seen in my life. I purposely retweeted or I like it. And at the end of it, he fell. He had to give an update to his followers saying, guys, I'm okay after Chuck Swirsky, Chicago Bulls, play-by-play. Look at this.
Oh,
look
my
at this
God.
Guy.
What the hell is
look
he
at,
doing?
Look at Chuck. And then watch at the end. He wipes out. He does this dance after every game or something similar, and he thinks he's a good dancer. I love him. Oh, my God.
Is that after wins, though? That's got to be only after wins. You can't
do
that after a
blowout
loss.
Yes, that's his victory dance. And he's got these weird moves, and he wipes out on that one.
Wow.
I don't know. That's
Swirsky. Wow.
You got to follow Chuck after every Bulls win, because that's what he pulls off for the fans.
I kind of love it. I do.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, he never did that when he was in Toronto. It was always, you know, break out the salami and cheese, a Raptors win. He had a bunch of catchphrases.
Onions.
Yeah, onions, baby, onions. He's been gone a long time. Like, he's at least more than a decade.
Well, he's enjoying himself there. Like, that's
a, yeah, I guess
that's
so.
A that's scene to go
that's
down. Scene.
Hey, listen, if you're gonna do your thing, do your thing. You know, you want to dance and post that online, by all means. But there's no way Chuck Swirsky thinks he's dancing like a quality dance. There's no way he's lacking self-awareness to that level. That's impossible. It's impossible.
When you go to a wedding with Aaron, do you defloor it, or you got to?
Sometimes
completely...
I haven't been to many weddings in the past couple years.
Yeah,
I hit the dance floor all night. Absolutely.
Is it like late into the night where you're completely gooned, or you right away? Are you right away hockey player shuffle?
No.
Like right away.
It's always an awkward part of the night with a wedding, right? Like who's going to break the ice and hit? Usually it's an aunt and uncle that are like, forget it, we're leaving at 10:30 anyway. So we've got plans of doing this and starting the whole dancing procession. But once there's a good enough crowd out there, I find my rhythm.
You get in there?
I get in
there. I have a ton of respect for 50-year-olds, 50-somethings, 60-somethings with mustaches and no moves that are out there regardless. They don't care.
They don't care.
They're doing it.
If it's a DJ, they will usually start with, you know, movies from the – or songs from the 60s or 70s to kind of get the aunts and uncles or grandparents out on the floor. And yeah, everyone sees it. That's the age-old question. Do you go with the DJ? Do you go with the band? Which one do you go with? Which one sparks more of an atmosphere at the wedding? I've been to both that have been great, both that haven't been so great. You know, generally it depends on the crowd and what kind of mood everyone's in.
I like to just blend. Like, you never want to be the focus of attention when you are...
It happens at every wedding, though, doesn't it, where there's a circle and someone's starting
in there.
Yeah,
you get in there, like, that's you freeze up.
Yeah.
You freeze up, you start doing the robot or something stupid, and then you have to kind of shuffle.
Have you guys ever done, like, circles form around you guys, robot style?
Like,
come
robot,
on.
But if you're in the circle, you got to do something. You can't just stand there like a gardener.
You're telling me both of you guys have been at weddings and a circle formed around you from what you were doing.
Not
on
organically around like me. It was already formed, and then you're in, you know, it's you get the point. You go in there and you put on a move or two. You Chuck Swirsky it and you leave.
There's a guy that we call the Night Train
Night
who
train.
Likes to take a peek. You should see him put a clinic on.
I picture Strutty waiting for the circle to develop. So that he can.
He accidentally ran somebody over on the dance floor at the bar one night that caused a scene. It was. He's an aggressive guy.
I could see him finding the oldest lady on the D floor and wanting to do the Patrick Swayze lift up into the air. Like, I could see him doing it.
He does the worm. He does all these ridiculous things you've ever seen. He's got this one leg shuffle where he kicks forward, grabs his foot. And then swings around, and then it ends with a scissor kick. Like, it's something, it's ridiculous.
The scissor kick is impressive, especially for a tall guy. If you can pull it off.
He's
got
moves.
A scissor kick on the D floor?
I can't explain it. Like,
I know exactly.
I
can picture it.
I can do the move right now, but I would not be able to pull it off the way that Strud does it. But it's like he kicks forward, grabs his foot, and then leans forward, and then spins around with a jump. Like, it's ridiculous.
It's very acrobatic is what it is, but it's also a big gamble because if you get tight pants on, those things rip, you're done.
Yeah.
Your toes.
This guy puts a show on, and if he's deep into the night, he doesn't care.
I've told you about this. A buddy of mine was being a hero. And was trying to do the dirty dancing, Swayze, baby in the corner thing with our buddy, the groom's mom. And he blew a wheel and they both went down.
Come on.
Yes.
Took her down too?
Took her down. It was as if the music screeched to a stop.
No.
And he had to be taken aside, and it was like, because he was embarrassed and trying to apologize. It's like, you just need to.
Yeah, you need to.
You're not allowed
out of
here anymore. And she was fine, and she was laughing afterwards. But trying to be a hero, trying to be Swayze, and then they both go down.
Dude, there is nothing worse than you're trying to be the funny guy, and you break someone's aunt's ankle or something. And it's, oh, my God.
You're excommunicated, basically, from the friend zone for a bit. You're such an idiot. You can't get away with
that
kind of
stuff. You're the jerk. I was in.
Being a hero.
We were in Cabo San Lucas for a buddy's wedding, and everyone's doing the train, and there were a couple jackasses at the end. They knocked the wedding cake off a cliff, off the ledge. Yeah.
Oh, that's so gutless. Because the bride, you know, she's going to be like, oh, that's kind of funny.
No, she develops a hatred for the. She develops a hatred for your. They're never allowed over.
Ever
you're never
again.
Allowed to go out with them.
Hated forever. Yeah. 20 years
for life.
Later, they'll be referenced.
It is. But it was kind of funny. It didn't end well.
Like, funny. Send us your horror stories, by the way, if you've got a buddy that just absolutely. at Hayes TSN destroyed a wedding or did something completely egregious. Oh,
yeah. You hear about the stories about the guy on the mic that shouldn't be on the mic.
That's Bill Hayes.
Well, yeah, but he was supposed to be on the mic. That's what made his speech so bad. Is he was fully vetted beforehand and went up there and just dropped the mic.
Dude, I don't know what it is, but I get so embarrassed for people that do that, where they absolutely just have a stinker of a joke, and everyone's like, "Oh, you can hear it like a hockey rink, like, oh, I want to run away. I have to run away for my own good. I have to run out of the building. I can't do it."
It changes the whole tone of the night, because you're if I get stopped, if it's a stop and chat with that guy, all I'm going to think of is that lost everything, lost the respect of the room. And the joke was brutal.
Everything. It's game over.
They should pack up and go. That's what it is.
Like, really? I'd love to see that, actually. There should be someone that gets that job. Like, you know how you have a wedding.
A wedding bouncer.
Exactly. Basically someone who's a judge, a wedding judge, who has to walk up to you and say, "Your evening's over.
You're done.
It was great to have you here, but you have to leave."
It's like undercover. It's undercover, you know. Agents, where it's like you just, and they're kind of buddies of yours, where they just scope out the idiots, and it's like, if you see one guy have one more drink than he's supposed to, you're out.
Yeah. Planted in the crowd. You're out.
I've got an the story's about 2 minutes long, so I don't think we have it, but I've got an unbelievable story about a wedding, and it went south,
Yeah. Okay. Let's do that after dark. Let's do wedding stories with Noodles after dark.
It's about, I need 90 seconds to.
And let us know. At Hayes TSN or at Overdrive, we need to hear horror stories.
Okay. Yeah. There'll be a lot of them coming in, and we'll sift through them. We'll be the judge, and we'll tell you how people should have been reacting at that time. Brian Windhorst in about 20 minutes. We caught up with Sheldon Keefe earlier this afternoon. We'll recap that conversation in the 6 p.m. hour as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Brian Windhorst will join us in about 15 minutes on the Raptors' loss in Chicago last night. Try to get you an update on Fred VanVleet, Kyle Lowry, who still hasn't been playing. Ever since he missed the Raptor game, he's been out with personal reasons. Miami's a really good team, man. They're healthy. They're rolling.
That doesn't sound good in long-term personal reasons.
Yeah, I don't know if Brian has an update on it. I don't know if this was something that was planned and it's being labeled as personal reasons. Is it something that is really going on in his life? And let's hope not. Let's hope everything's okay with Kyle, clearly.
Right.
So we'll try to get you an update on that. And the Miami Heat are up here in a few days, and it doesn't sound as if Lowry's coming. I'm not sure he was going to come anyway, because there's not going to be any crowds, and I don't think he wants to play his first game back in Toronto in an empty building, which I actually have an appreciation for, even though
it's fair.
You're making a lot of money, you're a pro athlete, but he's not going to do it. It doesn't sound like he's going to do it anyway. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of personal, Hazy, I was thinking of you today because you always give me trouble for my personal affairs.
Right.
And I had a personal affairs day, and I had it documented. And here's a busy personal affairs day. Joe from the Bridge, show Hazy, and Hazy, you can read it out.
Get sausages from Farm Boy.
Aha drinks from 7-Eleven.
What's Aha drinks? Is that the
it's
drinks that
these
you drink?
Drinks, yeah.
Do you like those things?
I type that in my notes, and I'm like,
put that up there again. What kind of sausages?
I love that sausages. You're like, you're Mike Ditka. Like, you're literally a part of the Bears skit from SNL.
Go and get some
they
sausages.
Got these great maple chipotle sausages or something that are just like, I don't know, they're good.
Why
but anyway, I had to go get them, but I just wrote it down because I thought I would have a bunch of other stuff to do. Then I looked at it when I got home. I'm like, I guess that was the end of the personal
That's why you need an assistant. You don't need to be going out getting drinks and sausages. You've got too much on your plate.
Tell me
you got something more than just sausages. Like, once you're there, you mix in, like, some produce or...
Dude, I walked out with six sausages.
Are they cooked? Are they pre-cooked or not?
No, I walked right to the butcher and I go,
that's outrageous.
Six maple chipotles, and I walked to the express line and I took my sausages home.
Do you pan-fry
I went to 7-Eleven, I got the Aha drinks, and then that was my day.
That is tough. Do you pan fry them? How do you like? How are you making sausages right now? Are you baking
sometimes
them?
Sometimes I stove top, like in a pan.
Yeah.
Sometimes oven.
What if you need to buy a new pan? Do you put that in your little notes and go get a new
buy
pan?
Pan. Bed, Bath, pan. And Beyond.
Yeah.
Like, why would you just put Farm Boy on there and then you know in your mind, I'm going to get sausages and go sausages. Farm Boy 7-Eleven. Like, you need to
Harley
spell it out.
Boy.
Like, I need AHA drinks. At
I don't know, man. I was just, that's kind of the busy personal affairs, man.
Yeah, that's.
Well, listen, you're not doing much more than I am these days. I did a coffee run today. Remember we talked about that last week? I said, I'll go to Starbucks, I guess, just to get out of the house and go do something. So that was my big day. I didn't have much more. I'm doing stuff around the house.
Dude,
whatever,
I'm begging for a honey-do list. Like, I asked my wife, like, what do you want? I'll go get it. I'll run around. I'll anything to just leave this
it's
place.
It's going to come over to my – I'm so busy for some reason. Like,
what? Around your house?
Just everywhere. Like, we had a microwave go. How long have we been in our house? 3 years? So you brand-new appliances.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the microwave goes, like the built-in wall oven one. It took 4 months to get the parts in. 4 months.
But how does that affect your life, though, on a daily basis? Like, I know you don't have access to it, but what, how does
that
make you busy?
That's not a personal affairs filler
either. You've got stuff around the house you have to take care of, right? You take care of the house.
Sure. I mean, that's I'm not saying I'm sitting on the couch watching, you know, Law and Orders all day. I'm mixing in things around the house. But I'm saying to get out of the house is where I'm searching. Like, there are times where I'm like, okay, I'll go grab this. Maybe tomorrow I hit Farm Boy and grab some sausages.
Put the list up, Joe, from the bridge. I got to see it. Personal affairs.
There it is.
Maybe we'll do it once a week if I got a busy list.
I like it. Personal affairs. Maybe it's a Thursday thing around 5:45. We go through your personal affairs.
Get sausages from Farm Boy
and drinks from 7-Eleven. All right, Brian Windhorst. We'll get back into our chat with Sheldon Keefe in the next hour as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 soon to be up on TSN 2.